Well, good morning, everyone. Thanks for being here today. My name is Leslie. I'm one of the pastors here. And I was thinking recently how so many of us, most of us probably, do not appreciate interruptions. Imagine that you're in the middle of a project, whether it's at home or work, and you're coming to, you know, getting really into it, and then someone comes in and pulls you away from it, and how frustrating that is to be interrupted. Or think about how you are being interviewed, probably the most important interview of your life so far on live TV, and your children come into the room. Maybe you remember this from March of this year, but take a look at this clip.
Scandals happen all the time. The question is, how do democracies respond to those scandals?
And what will it mean for the wider region? I think one of your children has just walked in. I mean, shifting sands in the region, do you think relations with the North may change?
I would be surprised if they do. Pardon me. My apologies.
What is this going to mean for the region?
My apologies. South Korea's policy choices on North Korea have been severely limited in the last 6 months.
Yeah, can you imagine that? My favorite is when the mom comes in, she's like sliding on the floor. So this family, and then Professor Kelly definitely was not expecting that interruption. But they later interviewed the Kellys on the BBC again, and they just were explaining just how mortified they were from the whole thing that happened, thinking that they never hear from the BBC or any other newscast. But actually, they were on the BBC. You can Google them, and there's some fun little clips and things like that of when they're interviewed, what their kids are doing then. So it's very funny. But most people don't like to be interrupted. But there are times where interruptions maybe can be a good thing. Think about it if some of you, and for me as well, and one of the biggest days of our lives can be our wedding day. And so imagine that you're the bride and you've done everything possible to prepare for that special day, and you've gotten everything ready, arranged so that it goes perfectly, beautifully. And then to be at the altar with facing your groom, your husband-to-be, when the groom then leaves and goes to address the audience. Think of the myriad of thoughts that are flowing through your mind at the moment. You can't even keep up with everything, the processing, what's happened. But take a look at this clip of what happened with this bride.
So, I want to thank everybody for coming. There's always a seat for everyone. And as you know, we have a seat saved for our son, Tristan, who couldn't make it. And he's here with us in spirit. But what a lot of you may not know is Tristan was an organ donor, and that was his choice. And by doing that, it opened us up to meet some pretty amazing people. And one of those young men who received his heart is here today, and he's going to come up and be our sixth groomsman. So Jacob, could you please come up, buddy?
You can see in the next photo how this moment in her life, maybe you have seen the story over social media or on Facebook of how special this interruption of her, maybe one of the biggest days of her life, and how this interruption turned into such a blessing. And had she had known what that interruption, what was happening, if she had known the end when it was happening, she would definitely have welcomed that disturbance instead of question what was going on that day. We're beginning a new series today called Divine Interruptions, and this series will help us see that the interruptions in life are not to be viewed as inconveniences or nuisances, but rather invitation for God to work in our lives. So often we view interruptions as the roadblocks in our day-to-day living that prevent us from getting what we want or keeping us from doing what we want or where we want to go in life. But we need to take a step back and have a different perspective about the interruptions in our life. Henry Nouwen, one of my favorite authors, puts it this way. He said, "My whole life I've been complaining that my work was constantly interrupted until I discovered that my interruptions were my work." My interruptions were my work. So many times we view the things that come up or the people who come in through our day as keeping us from doing what we need to get done or what we are, you know, called to do. But really, those interruptions in our lives can be divine interruptions. They can be ones that bring hope and healing into our lives as well as to the lives of others. Well, we're going to see an interruption that occurred in Acts chapter 8, but before we read through the story there, let's take a moment to pray. God, we do thank you for interruptions. We thank you for divine interruptions, more specifically, ones where you step into our world, shake us up a little bit, and allow us to see where you are working and moving in our lives and in other people around us. We pray, God, that you will open our hearts, open our ears, open our minds to receive from you today. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, we're reading in Acts chapter 8, starting in verse 26, going through verse 40. You can follow along on the screen, or if you have a Bible with you, you can turn there as well. But Acts chapter 8, again, starting in verse 26. It says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.' So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candace, which means queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, 'Go to that chariot and stay near it.' Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. 'Do you understand what you're reading?' Philip asked. 'How can I?' he said, 'unless someone explains it to me.' So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. 'He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth.' The eunuch asked Philip, 'Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?' Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?' And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Atosis and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea." Well, here, this account in Acts chapter 8 is evidence that God has an initiative, has a mission of reclaiming all of the world to be a part of his kingdom. And followers of Jesus are spread all around the world in order for others to understand, to receive, to hear the good news of Jesus. And in this case, Philip had just come from Samaria. You can read back in Acts chapter 7 where a huge revival had just taken place in Samaria. So he's coming off of this high. People have receiving forgiveness. There's evil spirits being cast out. There's great rejoicing all through Samaria in this area. And the Bible says that he was told to go to a desert road, a place where he probably, if he was lucky enough, could have seen one or two people. And his day, his life, was definitely interrupted. And the two people who are found here on the road probably couldn't be any more different. You have Philip, who is a good Jewish boy who was middle class. He was raised in the Jewish home. He probably was taught to recite, "Thank you, God, that I wasn't born a woman, a Gentile, or a slave." I take offense to that. But, you know, that was kind of his mindset, his culture. So you can imagine, here he is now, meeting an Ethiopian eunuch who was viewed to be on the outskirts of Roman civilization. And he is, so Philip's middle class, average Joe guy, and the Ethiopian eunuch, smart, wealthy, he's probably the CFO of his country, he was responsible for all the money for the queen. Very big contrast of characters. And had it not been for this divine interruption, these two people probably would never have met. But that's what it was, a divine interruption. Because it was geographically challenged as well as culturally challenged for those two people to be on the same road, going in the same direction. So they are now here for a divine interruption. And, you know, Philip or the eunuch could have viewed this interruption as one of those kinds of intrusions into your day-to-day, a nuisance, an inconvenience, a distraction from the real issues at hand. But we'll see that just like Philip needed to learn, but these interruptions need to put us in places and with people who not just need our help, but more importantly, who need our Savior. And so in the next few minutes, I want us to see how important our job is of sharing the message of Jesus with those we meet, whether they're different or alike, whether the situation is a common one or it's rare, whether the conversation is difficult or easy. And so in no way do I stand up here as an expert of someone who is who can personally share their faith in the best way. I'm just learning alongside of you here as we learn more about the importance of personal evangelism or sharing your faith with those that you meet. And so there's in your worship folder, there's a message handout if you would like to take notes to follow along. There's a lot of things to keep track of today, and so I thought it would be helpful to have that with you. You can, if anybody needs one, if you just raise your hand, our ushers would be able to hand one out to you as we get started here. But look again at verses 26 and 27, and then in verse 29 and 30. It says, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go. And then Philip went. And he goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza, and he started out on his way, and he met the Ethiopian eunuch. Then in verses 29 and 30, it says, the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot. Then Philip ran up to that chariot. So the very first step in sharing your faith with others and recognizing divine interruptions of people and places and things in your life is to understand the importance of obedience. The importance of obedience. When it comes to sharing our faith with those in need, we automatically assume that we need to have boldness or courage, the right words to say so that we can overcome the fear or the embarrassment. Our nervousness might keep us from starting conversations about Jesus. But we see here with Philip, as in the case with us, that it's not about the words that you say, it's about your obedience. The divine interruption between Philip and the eunuch would never have taken place if Philip had not obeyed the Spirit, had not obeyed God's calling him to this specific place and time to meet the eunuch. So Philip was obedient. The Lord told him to go, and Philip went. I've heard it said before that God doesn't ask if you're capable, he asks if you're willing. He doesn't ask if you have all the right tools, all the right knowledge, all the right, you fill in the blank. It's not about are you capable, it's about are you willing? Are you going to be obedient? You see, we don't need to worry about having all the right words when it comes to sharing our faith with a family member or a coworker, a friend, or someone you might meet in a very unusual circumstance. The only thing that we need to be concerned about is our obedience to God and what he is calling us to do. His Spirit is there to guide you and give you the words that you need or the response or the actions necessary to show and to share the love of God. So first, we need obedience. Secondly, when sharing your faith, that there's the importance of preparation. The importance of preparation, and it's not preparation by you. Don't worry. It's preparation by God. We see here that in verse 27 and verse 28, look on the screen, it says, "This man," meaning the eunuch, "had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet." The preparation, again, is not on our part. We see that God prepared the Ethiopian eunuch to be ready for Philip. Did you happen to see where the Ethiopian was coming from? Did you see that? He was on his way back home from Jerusalem. What was an Ethiopian eunuch, someone who's not a part of Judaism, doing in Jerusalem? The epicenter of Judaism, the epicenter of worship. What was he doing there? Scripture says that he went there to worship. The Jewish law would prohibit a eunuch from being a convert to Judaism. But so, he was a God-fearer or a God-seeker. He was someone who was actually seeking out. He had made a long trip from his area and was now in Jerusalem seeking after God. And not only was he there seeking, it also says that he was reading Scripture. He was reading the book of Isaiah. So you see, God had already gone before Philip and was working and preparing the man's heart to hear from God, to hear about Jesus. So you see, it wasn't the words Philip said. It was God who had gone and prepared the heart to hear and to receive the news of Jesus. Leighton Ford, in his book on evangelism called Good News is for Sharing, he reported how a young pastor, a friend of his, had the opportunity to lead a man, a hardened criminal, in jail to Christ, and how he sat down with this man, and the man, the criminal, had said to the pastor, he says, "Now, pastor, don't go and get a big head because I converted, because I accepted Jesus. You're just the 25th man." The pastor was a little confused at first, but then through conversation, he learned that up until that point, there had been at least 24 other people who had come and spoken, had shared their faith with this man in prison, and that it just happened that Leighton Ford's friend was the 25th man, the one who had the opportunity to then lead this man to Christ. Because you see, God was already at work in the man's life before the pastor had even arrived. He was already working. And the same is true with those who are in your life. God is already working in them and preparing them at certain places and times to be ready to receive the message of hope about Jesus. You just happen to be one link, one step, one piece of the puzzle in what God is doing in those lives around you. So that's the importance of preparation, not on your part, but on God's part. Next, we see the importance of questions. The importance of questions. Look at verse 30 and 31. It says, "Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. He said, 'Do you understand what you're reading?' Philip asked. 'How can I, unless someone explains it to me?' So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him." Now, if you can imagine, picture this at first. Philip's not invited up into the chariot until later. So Philip is having quite a challenge. A chariot's moving down a desert road, and Philip's told to run up to that chariot, and he's trying to now listen to what the eunuch is reading while trying to, I don't know how good of shape Philip was in, but he was running beside the chariot and then being able to ask questions to the eunuch what he was reading about. And so the eunuch was reading aloud, which was a common practice back then. And then Philip started with a question. He asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" You see, Philip started with where the eunuch was in his quest for God. As he was seeking for God, Philip started where the eunuch was. And then that led to an entire conversation about Jesus. You see, when sharing our faith with another person, we may feel as though it comes out of left field, and that can feel that way. I remember being a part of college courses where we were brought to other universities or other places and kind of dropped in the middle of them and said, "Okay, go out and evangelize." And it was very awkward at times, and I am not in any way saying that way of evangelism is the not good, because I actually just talked with a lady last week who received Christ because of that way of evangelism, and that is perfectly fine. And God works in those ways too, because God's still preparing hearts just the same, in that he prepares those who are close to you. I'm just saying a more natural way of personal evangelism is through asking questions to them, because you know what's a person in your life, a coworker, a friend, a family member, what they're dealing with at the time, what struggles they have, what questions they have, and you can start there, which is a more natural way to begin a conversation about God and the hope that we find in Jesus Christ. So questions are very important, but don't be afraid where they lead to, or don't be afraid of what your answer might be in having a conversation about Jesus and your faith. You're not sitting there claiming to know all the reasons as to why things happen in the world, or why this occurs in that person's life or not. You're not claiming to know everything. You're just claiming to say that I have found hope in the answer to life in Jesus Christ. And you're committed to following him in your journey every step of the way. So there, and questions play a very important role in being able to share your faith and the hope that you have in Jesus. Well, next, it's the importance of Scripture. The importance of Scripture. Look at verses 32 through 34. It's the verses 32 and 33 outline what the eunuch was reading specifically in Isaiah. And then Philip asks the eunuch in verse 34, he says, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" So the Ethiopian was reading here in the book of Isaiah, and there's much that's unclear in Isaiah, and especially in those prophecy books, they can be a little unsure what they're referring to. I know the Bible can be confusing for me. I'm sure it is for you at times as well. And especially for our westernized minds to understand what was written, some of the things just don't make sense. But thankfully, we have translations of the Bible that help us understand and put the words into modern-day English to help us understand and be able to apply Scripture to our life. Thankfully, we have people who have dedicated their lives to making sure that we are able to apply Scripture to our lives through readings and commentaries and different books like that, and that help us to understand those kind of passages. So you see, the Bible can be hard to understand when sharing your faith, especially as you bring out the Bible. It can be difficult to use that. Also, you run into people who do not believe in the authority of the Bible or the authenticity of the Bible or the relevancy of the Bible. But you see, that shouldn't stop us from sharing our faith or basing our faith in all of our answers to life in the Bible. Because if we remove the Bible from our foundation, we're eliminating the source of truth of which we find the hope of eternal life through Jesus. You don't need to, every time you talk with someone, quote word for word a Bible verse. That's not what I'm saying. But there must be an evident trace of truth back to the Bible, of what you're saying needs to trace back to the Bible. Because if not, it's just our philosophy of life versus another's. And that's definitely not what the gospel is. Our faith is not a good way of thinking. Our faith in Jesus Christ is life transformational, and that truth is found in the Bible. So when sharing your faith, there is the importance of Scripture. Next, there is the importance of Jesus. There's the importance of Jesus. Look at verse 35. It says, "Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus." So yes, the eunuch had questions about the book of Isaiah, specifically chapter 53, verses 7 and 8. And the eunuch was inquiring whether the author was referring to himself or to another prophet or to another person. And so that was the question then that Philip jumped off of to lead the entire conversation to Jesus and the hope that he brings to us. And so these verses in Isaiah describe Jesus as the willing sacrifice for sinners, even to the point of losing his human rights. And as Philip explained the verses to the eunuch began to understand the gospel because the Spirit of God was working in him, opening in his mind to God's truth. But you see, it's not enough for sinners like you and for me to want forgiveness or to want salvation. We must also understand that God's rescue plan all is about Jesus. It's the only through Jesus. Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. The eunuch, though, must have received that gift of forgiveness and grace, because look in verse 36. It says, as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized? So you see, the eunuch made a profession of faith, knew, understood Jesus and his sacrifice, his forgiveness, and then came to water and says, what's going to keep me from being baptized? You see, the eunuch wanted to act upon this newfound faith that he had, and he wanted to demonstrate his decision to follow Jesus in a very public way. And so that brings us to our last point, and it says the importance of response. The importance of response. Now, we may have conversations and discussions about religion or talk about certain topics of Christianity with our friends or our coworkers, our family members, and that's always a good beginning, a good start to talking about God or to your faith. But we have to move past that, past convincing arguments and past convincing truths of the Bible. And there has to be a time when someone comes face to face, so what are you going to do with Jesus Christ? What are you going to do with Jesus Christ? Cliff Connectley is a well-known evangelist, and he explains the process as which someone may come to faith. He says, a person's coming to Christ is like a chain with many links. There are many influences and conversations that precede a person's decision to convert to Christ. I know the joy of being the first link at times, a middle link usually, and occasionally the last link. God has not called me to only be the last link. You see, not every conversation of faith calls for that kind of decision, a decision to receive Christ or to accept forgiveness. And because all different situations and people are in different places and they're at different times, but we do hope that one day our family members, our friends, our coworkers will come to place their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ. The only thing is that you might not be that last link in the chain. You might be the middle link. You might be the beginning link. But the truth is that there needs to be a time where there is a response. And each person is different with a response. For some, the response is to continue seeking God and his truth. And for others, it's to receive the gift of forgiveness and salvation and grace. But we all, no matter where we are on the spectrum of responding, we all are on a journey to know and to love God wholeheartedly. For the Ethiopian eunuch, his response was immediate baptism. He says, here's some water, let me get baptized. And how did he know that believers get baptized? We don't know. Maybe Philip told him. Maybe when he was in Jerusalem, he saw people being baptized. Or maybe he knew that when Gentiles converted to Judaism, they got baptized. Whatever it was floating on in his mind, he knew that this was the way that he wanted to publicly declare his commitment and his devotion to Christ and give witness to what Jesus had done in his life. And all throughout the book of Acts, baptism is an important part of a believer's commitment to Christ and witness for Christ. It's a very important way for someone to publicly share and publicly proclaim that they're a follower of Jesus with all the meanings and the symbolisms. It's a very special way for someone to go public with their relationship with Jesus. So my question for you today is, what is your response? Are you in need, like me, to welcome divine interruptions into your life, to see them as not nuisances or inconveniences, not to see those people as getting in the way of what you need to do in life, but to view the interruptions as your work, as what you are calling to do, as opportunities to reflect God's love and his kindness to those you meet? Or maybe you're in need of starting conversations with family or friends or coworkers because you know the questions that they have. You know the struggles that they're facing. And you have the opportunity to introduce hope and healing into their situations because you know Jesus. Maybe you sit here today and you're in need of placing your personal faith in Jesus Christ. Maybe you've never done that before. Maybe you are in need of his forgiveness and his grace. The Bible says that today's the day of salvation. There's no need to wait to get your life in order, that you can receive his forgiveness of your sins, of your wrongdoing, if you just simply ask him to forgive you and to extend his grace and his mercy to you. Today is the day that that response is yours. Or maybe you sit here and you need to identify yourself with Jesus through baptism. You've followed Jesus, some of you for years, maybe for months, and you've never gone public with that faith. Your response is the same. You need to be baptized to publicly show your commitment and your love for Jesus. And the good news is you don't have to wait long. In 2 weeks, we're having a baptism, August 20th. It's not here, it's at the beach, but it's going to be a great experience that you don't have to wait. This is a way for you to show to your family, to your friends, to experience that public declaration and your love and commitment to Jesus Christ. No matter where you are in your response spectrum today, but the truth is that all of us go back to number one, the importance of obedience. We all are called to obey God where he's leading us, wherever he is interrupting your life. Our call is to follow him and to go where he is leading. So don't miss the opportunity, the chance to receive his divine blessing because of his divine interruptions in your life. Let's pray. God, we do thank you for this opportunity to hear from you, from your word. We pray, God, that you will give each one of us the obedience to you and to your spirit to hear from you as you're speaking into our lives, calling us to embrace these interruptions, whether they're situations, circumstances, or people that come in our life, to realize that they're divine interruptions, that they're our work, what you're calling us to do and to minister and to love and to share hope with. So God, I pray that you speak to our hearts, allow us to know what response you want us to have in response to your word. We thank you and we pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, we